Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is April 22, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Power Ledger to bring blockchain energy trading to West Australian housing developments. Everledger offers Diamond Industry blockchain-based carbon offsetting. Gemini clears new Deloitte audit in bid to appeal to Wall Street. Tim Draper firm launches crypto exchange anyone can plug into WordPress. Bitcoin approaches $7,000 as US passes new $480 billion stimulus package. Miners trick stablecoin protocol PegNet, turning $11 into almost $7 million hoard. First mover, what the oil price collapse means for Bitcoin's halving valuation. UK's tech bailout could help blockchain devs weather COVID-19 shutdown. Now let's get started. Power Ledger to bring blockchain energy trading to West Australian housing developments. Power Ledger will provide the blockchain technology to enable energy trading at new housing developments in Western Australia. Under a deal announced Wednesday, the energy-focused startup will install its platform across 10 residential estates being built in the Perth metropolitan area by local property developer Nickeliving. A joint venture between Connected Communities Energy and Nickeliving, the energy trading project will see Power Ledger's blockchain platform implemented in Nickeliving's flagship Sky Homes and future housing over the next 3 years. Nickeliving is the largest medium-density developer in Western Australia to deliver blockchain technology to manage energy delivery and trading, said Gemma Green, co-founder and chairman at Power Ledger, in a press release. We're seeing an emerging trend of project developers considering more low-cost and low-carbon energy supplies during the design phase of their projects. Power Ledger's platform incentivizes homeowners to invest in solar energy infrastructure, Green added. Power Ledger said the initiative will kick off with 62 Sky Home apartments based in Inglewood, Perth, that will feature an embedded electricity network with solar and a storage microgrid. It will leveraging blockchain technology to stimulate a local renewable energy market. Power Ledger's technology enables homeowners to lower their daily energy costs and unlock a new revenue stream by monetizing excess solar energy and reducing their reliance on fossil fuel-sourced power, Nickeliving's managing director, Ronnie Michel El-Haj, said. Everledger offers Diamond Industry blockchain-based carbon offsetting. Track and trace blockchain pioneer Everledger is using its technology to help the diamond industry offset its carbon footprint. The firm's new platform, being launched with India and US-based Shiru and Atit Diamonds, allows diamond industry participants the option to purchase credits in carbon reduction projects. These work to counter greenhouse gas emissions by planting new trees, reducing deforestation, providing clean water access and investing in renewable energy. Fred Meyer and Littman Jewelers in the US will be the first retailers to make use of Everledger's carbon offsetting feature. Everledger, which started out back in 2015 tracing the provenance of diamonds using a permissioned blockchain, is making sustainable supply the governing theme across the range of goods it tracks, combining what Everledger CEO Leanne Kemp calls value and values. Platform clients including Shiru and Audit Diamonds will also be able to provide consumers with data about the carbon footprint arising from their manufacturing processes in real time, with sustainability reports publicly available on the Everledger platform. Earth Day is the right day to launch this new solution, as it has the aims of the Paris Agreement and the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals at its core, Kemp said Wednesday on Earth Day's 50th anniversary. This is the first time consumers will be able to access diamond carbon footprint information on the blockchain, via the Everledger platform. It's also the first time carbon offsetting will be possible on a blockchain platform for jewelry. Looking beyond gemstones, Everledger is also involved in sustainable supply chain tracking of rare earth minerals such as cobalt and lithium used in batteries, and plans to collaborate with Hyperledger blockchain stablemate Circulor. Carrie George, VP and Head of Sustainability for Everledger, said the new platform will provide blockchain certificates to verify energy efficiency and renewable sourcing efforts. We can connect stakeholders faster and more directly than ever to get their time and money focused directly on the impact they want to achieve, she said. Gemini clears new Deloitte audit in bid to appeal to Wall Street. Gemini's exchange and custody services have cleared yet another systems design check. Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss Crypto Business announced Tuesday it had completed the SOC 1 Type 1 examination in March. The report, conducted by Deloitte, is an attestation that Gemini's financial reporting obligations work at a given moment. Gemini head of risk Yusuf Hussain told CoinDesk the independent validation of Gemini's financial reporting operations gives credence to the system's design and mitigates the risk of significant error, omission, or data loss. Gemini, which Hussain claims is the first crypto exchange and custodian to run the gamut of security, privacy, financial reporting and systems control examinations designed by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, is now 1 year away from completing the Type 2 report, which checks that the systems also work over time. Checking these audit boxes has become a regular feature of Gemini's compliance and regulatory strategy. It had previously completed AICPA's security-facing SOC 2 Types 1 and 2 reports, also administered by Deloitte, and plans to repeat the SOC 1 Type 2 report annually. BitGo has also completed the SOC Type 2 audits for its custody business. Providing this level of transparency and building this level of trust is key to broader crypto market adoption, Hussain said. It has also apparently paid dividends for Gemini, which uses these attestation reports to show potential partners its systems are transparent and up to snuff. Hussain said such transparency is a significant factor in our establishing relationships with traditional financial institutions. He pointed to State Street Bank as one such institution. State Street launched a digital asset pilot examination with Gemini in December. The pair are examining reporting scenarios for custody digital assets, according to a State Street press release. Tim Draper firm launches crypto exchange anyone can plug into WordPress. Tim Draper's venture studio has released a WordPress plugin it claims will democratize crypto trading. Santa Monica, Calif.-based Draper Gorenholm said its new cryptocurrency exchange plugin, released Wednesday, would allow anyone to add trading features to websites in minutes or even create their own branded cryptocurrency exchange. In a press release, the venture studio said the plugin was open for any website owner, whether bloggers, content creators, media companies or entrepreneurs. Tim Draper, who became a partner of Gorenholm in 2019, said the plugin would make us one step closer to the dream of a truly borderless world. Alon Goren, a founding partner of the firm and author of the plugin, said 35% of the internet was built using WordPress. Launching the product on the massively popular platform means anyone can now have their own cryptocurrency exchange, he said. While the plugin is designed to be to some extent customizable, it is not an exchange per se. Using the API from CryptoSwap's platform Toddle, the plugin routes orders to decentralized trading platforms said to be listing the best prices. It also doesn't have any built-in facility to store digital assets but is compatible with existing wallet plugins, like MetaMask, Brave and Coinbase Wallet. While that may mean the exchange might not be vulnerable to a classic exchange hack, Draper Gorenholm's press release was light on the security features of the plugin. WordPress, which allowed users to pay in Bitcoin until 2015, may be ubiquitous, but users don't always maintain the best security practices. Security specialist WP White Security said more than 70% of all WordPress sites in 2013 were vulnerable to attacks due to poor password policies or outdated firewall protection. CoinDesk reached out to Draper Goren Home for more details, but hadn't received a response by press time. Toddle's API is described as providing developers a way to integrate aggregated exchange functionality into a product for Ether and popular ERC-20 tokens like DAI and BAT. It can execute crypto swaps, send payments, fetch price data on asset pairs and query exchanges. Toddle has always been focused on making decentralized exchanges more accessible and easy to use, said David Blesnick, founder and CEO of Toddle. The WordPress plugin is another step towards empowering global free markets. Bitcoin approaches $7,000 as US passes new $480 billion stimulus package. Bitcoin is rising so far on Wednesday as stock markets cheer the US Senate's decision to approve $484 billion in new coronavirus relief. The top cryptocurrency by market value is changing hands near $6,970 at press time, representing a 1.6% gain on the day. Prices look to have steadied in the $6,930 to $7,000 range over the last hour or so, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. Meanwhile, the Euro Stoxx 50, the Eurozone's benchmark equity index, is reporting a 1% gain, and there's been a 1.26% increase in the value of futures tied to the S&P 500. The positive moves come after the U.S. Senate passed a new stimulus bill on Tuesday to bolster aid for small businesses, fund more coronavirus testing, and provide support to hospitals facing a deluge of sick patients. The new package comes nearly 4 weeks after the U.S. lawmakers approved an unprecedented $2 trillion federal stimulus program. This new bill now moves to the House of Representatives for approval before it can be signed by President Donald Trump. That the trillions of dollars of stimulus is inflationary and could bode well for Bitcoin in the long term is generally accepted by now. So far, however, Bitcoin has failed to perform as a significant haven asset or an inflation hedge, and has been generally tracking equities through the crisis. Bitcoin decoupling? While the cryptocurrency has recovered over 80% from the March low of $3,867, the price rally has coincided with the notable recovery in the S&P 500. That said, signs of Bitcoin decoupling from traditional markets have emerged this week. For instance, the West Texas Intermediate, WTI, crude, the main oil benchmark for North America, fell to $37 below zero on Monday, sending shockwaves across the global financial markets. Bitcoin wobbled slightly following the oil price slide and registered a 4% drop Monday. But the decline was moderate considering the scope of the oil losses and the stressed state of the global economy the event reflected. Further, Bitcoin remained steady near $6,850 on Tuesday even though the June futures contract on the WTI fell by 40% and the S&P shed more than 3% of its value. More important, classic safe havens like gold and U.S. Treasuries also faced selling pressure on Tuesday, while the U.S. dollar strengthened in the forex markets, a sign of a renewed dash for cash. A similar cash crunch seen in mid-March triggered a violent price drop. Bitcoin fell by nearly 40% on March 12 and printed a low of $3,867 the following day as investors scrambled for liquidity. This time, however, the cryptocurrency is showing resilience, possibly because the crypto market focus has shifted to Bitcoin's mining reward halving in 19 days. Last month's rush to cash hit Bitcoin especially hard. This time around, the impending halving could have mitigated outflows from crypto into cash, said Marcus Swanpool, CEO of cryptocurrency exchange Luno. Bitcoin undergoes the halving process every 4 years, reducing block rewards by half in order to curb inflation. Many observers expect the supply-cutting event to bode well for Bitcoin's price. These bullish expectations could force investors to hold their coins while heading into the event. It could be that investors are not choosing to sell their holdings as we might expect and instead are staying in Bitcoin so as not to miss out on the anticipated gains in the months following the halving, Simon Peters, an analyst at multi-asset investment firm eToro, told CoinDesk. It remains to be seen if Bitcoin remains bid while heading into halving. Luno Swanpool thinks more money may come into cryptocurrencies if gold keeps drawing safe haven bids. The yellow metal is reporting 2% gains at press time and may continue to draw bids, as a V-shaped economy recovery is increasingly looking unlikely. From a technical analysis standpoint, Bitcoin's immediate bias is neutral because the cryptocurrency is trapped in a sideways channel. As can be seen, Bitcoin has been largely restricted to a range of $6,470 to $7,470 since April 7. However, within that range, the cryptocurrency printed a bearish lower high at $7,300 on April 18, raising the prospects of a downside move to $6,470. So far, however, the sellers have failed to penetrate the bottom of the range. The bulls need to keep Bitcoin above the descending, bearish, 50-day average at $6,802 to avoid a sell-off. On the higher side, a move above $7,300 would strengthen the prospects of a range breakout and a rally to $8,000 ahead of halving. Miners trick stablecoin protocol PegNet, turning $11 into almost $7 million hoard. Rogue miners submitted phony price data that tricked decentralized stablecoin network PegNet into turning a small wallet balance into a $6.7 million stash. At approximately 5 o'clock Coordinated Universal Time Tuesday morning, four mining entities which together comprised as much as 70% of the PegNet hashrate submitted data that artificially inflated the price of a PJPY, a stablecoin pegged to the price of Japanese yen, according to a core developer going by the username Hoosoup. Beginning initially with a wallet balance of $11, the group pushed the price of PJPY up to $6.7 million and then transferred it into PUSD Penye's USD-linked stablecoin. They then tried, unsuccessfully, to liquidate as much as possible on spot exchanges and distribute the remainder in hundreds of different wallet addresses. PegNet is a decentralized network, built on top of the Factum protocol, where users can trade stablecoins pegged to 32 assets. Besides fiat currencies, there are also digital assets pegged to commodities, such as gold, and other cryptocurrencies including Bitcoin and Ether. The network relies on miners to submit price data collected from a series of oracles and APIs to keep stablecoin prices pegged to their fiat equivalents. Each block requires up to 50 data points, and the protocol discards the 25 submissions furthest away from the total average. Most use the third to fourth default sources, but miners are also able to submit their own arbitrary values. Hoosoup told CoinDesk this isn't normally a problem as the system works to incentivize miners with a block reward to submit price data in line with those of other submissions. Over Discord, the developer explained the miners essentially performed a form of 51% attack by submitting 35 of the top 50 price submissions, skewing the average in their favor and meaning that the remaining 15 price submissions were discarded as outliers. With the fake exchange rate, the miners converted the inflated PJPY into PUSD so the overall wallet balance rose from $11 worth of PJPY tokens to well over 6.7 million PUSD which, assuming accurate price data, should be worth $6.7 million. Tuesday's attack lasted about 20 minutes and apparently did not affect other users' funds. David Johnston, who as well as being Factum Inc. chairman is also one of the main figures behind PegNet, told CoinDesk that group had no control over transactions and conversion of other users, but could only confirm price data. This attacker seems to have only affected their own wallet, he said. Johnston added that the attacker had not been able to transfer much of the PUSD into the Penye's native PEG cryptocurrency, as the protocol's software doesn't allow quick conversions. This person was able to generate a bunch of P assets, but not able to convert them into PEG and dump on the market, he said. The way PegNet is configured means the identity of individuals controlling the mining entities cannot be known. While there were four mining entities that worked in unison, it isn't clear whether these were all controlled by the same person or whether this was the work of a group. But there are still some unanswered questions. The attacker has since reached out to PegNet and claimed they were only trying to penetration test the network and code logic to identify potential vulnerabilities and notify core developers. They have also destroyed all the stablecoins in question, sending them all to the PegNet burn address at roughly 1400 Coordinated Universal Time Tuesday. Both Hu and Johnston refused to be drawn on the motives behind the attack. I can't speak to intent of this person, just their actions, Johnston said. Their actions were to generate the P assets and then destroy those P assets. It seems like more of a stunt than an attack given the short time it lasted and their actions since. The attacker's decision to burn the assets seems to mirror the actions of the hacker who drained DeForce of $25 million at the weekend and then handed back stolen assets after learning Singaporean authorities had their IP address. Johnston said PegNet would now review some of its Oracle mechanisms to ensure they are robust enough to withstand these sorts of attacks again in the future. I fully expect more sophisticated attacks over time. As values in DeFi networks rise, there is ever more reason to attack them, he said. The key is building systems like PegNet where individual users are not affected by the actions of others in the system. So because PegNet has no reserve or collateral held in a pool, there were no common user funds to drain. PegNet isn't certain yet whether the miners were able to offload any of the PUSD onto cryptocurrency exchanges. First mover, what the oil price collapse means for Bitcoin's halving valuation. One lesson of this week's oil price crash is that markets aren't acting very efficiently during the coronavirus crisis. On Monday, the benchmark U.S. oil futures contract for May delivery tumbled to an unprecedented negative price, largely because storage tanks are full of a product few can use. How that surprised experienced oil traders might seem a mystery, since energy companies and Texas state officials had been warning for weeks that storage capacity was running out. You're reading First Mover, CoinDesk's daily markets newsletter. Assembled by the CoinDesk Markets team, First Mover starts your day with the most up-to-date sentiment around crypto markets, which of course never close, putting in context every wild swing in Bitcoin and more. We follow the money so you don't have to. You can subscribe here. Commentators quickly pointed out the price anomaly was limited to the May contract. The futures contract for June delivery, after all, was still trading above $20 a barrel, a better reflection of oil's true price. Technical factors explain some of the decline, the New York Times wrote. Oil watchers don't consider it the most accurate reflection of price action, the Wall Street Journal wrote. Then on Tuesday, that narrative proved fanciful when the June contract tumbled more than 43% to a 21-year low of $11.57 a barrel. The May contract settled at $10.01. The only news was the price discovery. It turns out oil is worth a lot less now than it was at the start of the week, or in early April when it traded closer to $30 a barrel. The takeaway for Bitcoin traders is there might be a lot of factors in cryptocurrency markets that are known but not really reflected in the price. Those could include the deflationary impact of the coronavirus-induced global recession and the potential inflationary forces of the Federal Reserve's trillions of dollars of emergency money injections. Another might be the upcoming miner rewards halving, due to take place next month on the Bitcoin blockchain. The markets are just simply reflecting at this point what's going on in the real economy, which obviously is a lot of volatility, Commodity Futures Trading Commission Chair Heath Tarbert told CNBC on Tuesday, in an interview about the oil market. The reality unfolds slowly, and the volatility happens all of a sudden. This might help explain why Bitcoin has been stuck for all of April in a range between $6,400 and $7,400, even in the midst of what looks to be the world's biggest health emergency and economic crisis so far this century. Bitcoin barely flinched as negative oil prices sent shockwaves through traditional markets and in relative terms has held up very well, the Israeli trading platform eToro noted Tuesday in an email to clients. Was that the right reaction for the Bitcoin market? There's so much traders don't know about the future course of the pandemic and of its ramifications for business, society and culture. But it's not even clear if markets have properly priced in what traders already know. Bitcoin is often touted by traders as a hedge against inflation, and many cryptocurrency investors assume the Fed's money injections will eventually spur faster price rises. But Deutsche Bank has predicted in recent reports that the U.S. unemployment rate will rise to a post-World War II record of 17%, putting downward pressure on wages. That's deflationary. For Bitcoin traders, squaring the countervailing forces adds to the frustration of trying to divine what sort of speculation the Bitcoin market is already reflecting. Is Maze having priced into the market, given that it was put on the schedule 11 years ago when the Bitcoin blockchain was launched? That debate has been raging for months. The oil price collapse this week shows how bad markets can be at reflecting what's already known until there's a hard reality check on supply and demand. That might mean Bitcoin traders won't know the price impact of the cryptocurrency's potential adoption as an inflation hedge until more mainstream investors actually start buying. And it might mean the market won't see the full impact of Maze having until it comes and maybe goes. Trend: Bitcoin is flashing green on Wednesday as price volatility falls to fresh 3.5-month lows. The top cryptocurrency is currently trading near $6,950, representing a 1.4% gain on the day. The cryptocurrency is lacking a clear directional bias, however, as prices have spent a better part of the last 2.5 weeks trading in the narrow range of $6,450 to $7,450. Due to the range-bound activity, the spread between Bitcoin's Bollinger Band's volatility indicators placed two standard deviations above and below the 20-day moving price average has narrowed to $838, the lowest since January 6. The spread was $895 on Monday. The tightening of Bollinger Bands indicates a drop in volatility and often paves the way for a big move up or down. The daily chart's MACD histogram, an indicator used to identify trend strength and trend changes, is about to cross below zero for the first since March 20. The impending bearish crossover on the MACD suggests the price squeeze could end with a sell-off. The immediate support of the lower Bollinger Band is located at $6,571. However, on-chain metrics are telling a different story. For example, the 7-day moving average of the number of bitcoins held on cryptocurrency exchanges continues to fall, indicating a strong holding sentiment ahead of the mining reward having due in 19 days. The average fell to 2,398,564 on Tuesday to hit the lowest level since June 13, according to blockchain intelligence firm Glassnode. The metric stood at 2,214,365 a week ago, having topped out at 2,404,786 on January 17. Investors usually move coins from the exchanges to their personal wallets when prices are expected to rise. Meanwhile, Bitcoin balances on exchanges typically rise during bear markets. It's worth noting the MACD is based on moving averages, which are lagging indicators, and could trap sellers with a bearish crossover. Hence, accumulation signaled by the declining balance of Bitcoin on exchanges takes precedence over the technical indicator. Put simply, Bitcoin could rise in the short term and may breach the recent trading range on the high side. Acceptance above $7,450 would open the doors for a stronger rally to $8,000. UK's tech bailout could help blockchain devs weather COVID-19 shutdown. Britain's tech startups are getting a tailor-made COVID-19 relief fund. On Sunday, the UK government unveiled a $1.53 billion rescue package for high-growth businesses, pledging $500 million in loans and $750 million in research funding to keep floundering startups afloat through the coronavirus pandemic. The new package is targeted at tech firms in particular, many of which were unable to tap a previous relief plan. Blockchain platform startup Chainvine CEO Oliver Oram said his business, like countless other businesses in the UK and around the world, went into immediate crisis mode when economies began grinding to a halt earlier this year. Chainvine builds frictionless trade platforms that digitize import and export records for clients including the British government. "We no longer have a budget," Oram recalled telling his 20-person team at the start of the crisis, "we just have costs. Those costs had to go, and fast," Oram said. "It wasn't a question of like, okay, we budget for this month. Everything has to be slashed at the moment because you don't even know where normality will come back." Oram described the need to enact draconian belt-tightening measures after the pandemic interrupted Chainvine's investment stream. Some relief. Future Fund, the new convertible loan program, will run from May through September with 50-50 backing from taxpayers and the private sector. Loans from $125,000 to $5 million will go to qualifying non-listed UK firms who have raised at least $250,000 from VCs in the past 5 years, according to the government fact sheet. The UK is a world leader in innovation, and at this hugely challenging time, we know that young, fast-growing firms require tailored support to see them through, UK's Business Secretary Alok Sharma said in a press release that acknowledged that the government's earlier funding effort, the Coronavirus Business Interruption Loan Scheme, CBILS, did not go far enough. The new fund addresses some of the biggest tech-facing shortcomings of CBILS. That multi-billion pound small business bailout was seen as ill-suited to tech startups, many of whom said they failed to meet CBILS basic criteria and thus feared disaster from an economic crisis beyond their control. Through petitions and open letters, tech firms rallied for a more inclusive funding scheme. Oram said part of CBILS' problem was its reliance on commercial banks who could not properly value the intangible assets of tech startups. I don't think they're equipped for that, Oram told CoinDesk in an interview prior to the launch of Future Fund. Getting these loans then for a tech startup is even worse because these banks have no idea how to manage or value your intangible asset, he said. Better positioned. Chainvine furloughed 7 developers, froze new projects, cut the management team's pay, fired all non-essential contractors and renegotiated terms with the rest, according to Oram. He said he could not look to CBILS for help because Chainvine's intangible assets were insufficient for the commercial bankers running that program. Bankers prefer brick and mortar collateral over fintech concepts, Oram said. At the moment, it's hard enough for banks to understand fintech and build fintech into their systems, let alone for a daily bank manager to actually value a fintech and decide what would be a fair or not fair loan. In a follow-up interview, Oram said that the Future Fund scheme is far better positioned to rescue high-growth tech firms such as his. The program is run through the state's British Business Bank, an economic development bank. Funding converts into equity if the loan is not paid back. Venture capital firms will match the taxpayer-backed loan, and extend more if needed. It's a pretty good deal, said Oram, who has not yet decided if Chainvine will apply. His chief financial officer is still reviewing the terms. Oram said the new funding scheme is an encouraging public-private partnership by a government which initially undervalued the importance of its tech ecosystem and whose first coronavirus relief program put much of Britain's high-growth startup scene at risk. They're beginning to realize that they can't just let go of their intangible assets, their bright young startups that are coming up with solutions to tomorrow's problems, he said. I think there's a general feeling that you can't lose that talent, otherwise you're going to lose it for years. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.